The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We are going to go a lot of different directions on a busy sports week here in Arizona. Brad Sesmatt with you from our Skyview Satellite Studios. Appreciate Skyview being involved with us on White Mountain Radio today. On Twitter, at Brad Sesmatt, that's spelled C-E-S-M-A-T. If you're just finding us for the first time, welcome. We are Arizona-centric. Things going on in the Arizona sports scene across the great state. And, of course, things nationally, like whether it was interference or not last night. Obviously, that is an overriding topic from Monday Night Football. Yeah, we'll get into that here in a couple of minutes. But on today's show, Bob Kravitz will be with us, lead columnist, Indianapolis Star News. He, of course, covered Bruce Arians and Chuck Pagano last year, that dramatic story in Indianapolis. And now this Sunday in Glendale, the Cardinals in the playoff position, they take on Indianapolis. What a matchup. We'll talk about the return of Bruce Arians against his former team. That will be on the show coming up in about 15 minutes. Charles Davis, Fox College football analyst, will be with us at the bottom of the hour. ASU at UCLA. Charles Davis will be in the booth with Gus Johnson. Always good to hear Gus Johnson. Eric, what is Gus Johnson's, does he have one catchphrase, or is it just the, you know, cold, hard-blooded? What, I mean, is it, there's one that he comes up with? Because he's doing the ASU-UCLA game this week, and you know it's a big game when it's Gus Johnson. So we'll talk with Charles Davis. That'll be coming up at the bottom of the hour as well. Working on a few other things on the show today as we move through what's going on across the Arizona sports scene. Eric's Facebook question of the day. I've got that. The Facebook question of the day. What is the more intriguing matchup this weekend? Second-year coaches Todd Graham at ASU against UCLA's Jim Mora, or first-year coach Bruce Arians facing Chuck Pagano and the Colts Sunday in Glendale? Head over to facebook.com/sports360az. Like our page. Share your input. That's facebook.com/sports360az. That is our website. All things Arizona sports you can check out at sports360az.com. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports on a busy Tuesday, and it's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. You pull down the slots, you have some fun, big winnings. Who wouldn't want to be just outside of Pine Top this time of year? Probably in the 40s today, maybe a little cooler than that. You know that snow season at sunrise is starting soon. And Thanksgiving Day at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. They've got a great Thanksgiving Day buffet and menu for you to check out. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino. Pull down the slots, watch some sports, have some fun. That is coming up on Thanksgiving, or just this weekend for that matter, the Honda Resort and Casino. So here's my thing on what happened last night. If you didn't see the end of the game, or you haven't heard the conversation as the day has progressed, then chances are you've probably been working too hard today, because this has been the overriding deal. All right. Last night's Monday night game, it comes down in the fourth quarter and first to Cam Newton. Cam Newton comes up with, remember when Cam Newton was supposedly, well, he's done and maybe they should think about benching him and, well, their coach there is going to get fired and all that stuff. Cam Newton was terrific last night.
Newton looking left, throwing left. Fastball, and it's caught. 15-yard line to the 10, to the 5, left pylon. Touchdown!
Ted Ginn, speed!
Ted Ginn Jr.
Speed!
Team! Now, Ted Ginn has been this monumental bust. Remember, he was this fastest guy in the NFL, and Miami took him with a high first-round pick, and then he went to San Francisco, and then he goes to Carolina, and he finally does something last night. But wait, the game's not over. It's Tom Brady in the final moment. I'm guessing when the number comes out today, the ratings, they're going to be monumental last night, because you have Tom Brady trying to win a game. And it comes down to the very final play, and Tom Brady trying to get it done. This is on the Panthers radio network last night.
Four-man rush. New England goes three receivers to the right, one to the left. Brady backs up to throw, moves up in the pocket. Brady throws end zone, intercepted. Panthers win on a penalty marker. We have a penalty flag, and the Patriots are clapping.
Nope.
They pulled it up. Pick the flag up, ref. Pick it up.
Foul on the play.
Of course, if you're hearing the Patriots side of things, they're probably not as happy. And the Panthers, because they've been the Panthers, probably haven't had chances to cheerlead like that last night. So the game ends. There's no explanation. Poor ESPN is saddled with Jerry Austin, the former ref, who says, oh, yeah, it was a good call. What are you talking about? What do you mean it was a good call? There was nothing that was explained. When you hear that something is uncatchable, who is to determine if it's uncatchable in the NFL or even college football? Do you think the last play that Auburn scored on, the Auburn game over the weekend against Georgia, that was uncatchable? How many times have we seen balls that we didn't think were going to be caught and they ended up being caught? Here's Tom Brady after the game on the final play.
He's kind of weaving in and out of there, and I just didn't really want to throw it over his head and out of bounds. I was a little indecisive, and it wasn't a great throw. It was no excuses. It should have been a better throw.
So, look, and this impacts the Arizona Cardinals. This is what I'm going to get to. Last night, that play on its own may end up costing the Arizona Cardinals a playoff spot. And you're saying, Brad, did you drink your lunch? No, I didn't. Did I smoke my lunch? No, I didn't. Here's why. I've seen this through the years here in Arizona sports where we have plays that come up that you don't think about at the time. The playoffs, if they were to start today, Carolina, now with the victory last night, would get the playoff seed that would put them alongside of Philadelphia. They would meet the Eagles. They would be the fifth seed. The Cardinals have already beaten Carolina this season. So that one play, if the ref says no, it could have been holding, it could have been defensive holding, it could have been pass interference. There's a couple things that could have been called there. The ball gets placed at the 1 yard line. Tom Brady finds a way to get in. They end up winning the football game. All of a sudden now the Panthers are sitting there at 6-4 with the same record as the Arizona Cardinals, and the Cardinals have the tiebreaker over Carolina. Yeah, if you're a fan of the football team here in our state, and I have no dog in this fight, I'm just merely pointing this out, that one play hurts the Arizona Cardinals. It does. Now, did New England play well enough to win the football game? No, they didn't. No, they didn't. And Tom Brady was being nice. It was painful after the game to hear everybody dancing around with Bill Belichick. Like, somebody please ask him. Bill Belichick, had to say to one of the reporters, like the second question in, and what's your question? Bill, it was a really hard-fought game. Yeah, it was. How about anybody, somebody, Journalism 101, the first thing to the coach after that play is, Bill, what did you see on the final play, and were you given an explanation? Instead, it's a bunch of guys just sitting there dancing around because they're afraid Bill Belichick's going to yell at them, and they got their free parking spot, and they got their free meal, and they had their nice seat in the press box. It was embarrassing after the game last night. That's one of those things where you just go right into it. But it does impact the Cardinals. Speaking of the Cardinals, in a couple of minutes, we'll go to Indianapolis. Bob Kravitz, lead columnist for the Indianapolis Star. Bruce Arians, he covered Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians doing a terrific job here this Sunday. The Colts come here. Andrew Luck, does he miss Bruce Arians? Doesn't look like it. What are they saying in Indianapolis about not having Bruce Arians any longer? And the job that Bruce Arians has done out here, because I think Bruce Arians, if you're talking about coaches of the year, you're going to immediately go up to Seattle and Pete Carroll because of their record in the NFC. But I think if you look at the job that he's done, or you may look at Ron Rivera over in Carolina. Bruce Arians beat Ron Rivera. At this point of the season, I think you could go down that path. So we have a lot of pro football to get to on today's show. ASU-UCLA. So yesterday, Todd Graham, this was terrific. Todd Graham yesterday meets with the media, and I asked him about his team's identity. We'll have that a little bit later in the show because I think it will give you a real good feel of what Todd Graham's all about at Arizona State and his passion for the game. You hear the 20-second soundbite or the 10-second soundbite on the evening news if you're lucky. I'm going to give you about 3 minutes of Todd Graham, unplugged and unfiltered, when I asked him that question later in the show. They have to take on a quarterback that is from here in Arizona, Chandler High School, Brett Hundley, could have gone anywhere in the country. He's at UCLA. He'll be a first-round pick. I don't know if he's going to turn pro this year or not. I have to, full disclosure, I'm close with Brett Hundley. I've done work with Brett Hundley and working with him on his media approach through the years. I like him a great deal as a person when I first saw him at Chandler High. Here is Brett Hundley on the Bruins getting ready for this Saturday's showdown with Arizona State at the Rose Bowl.
This offense really works when we're having fun. We're moving the ball and playing with a smile on our face, you know, just having fun out there. And I think when you get really tensed up is when you start making mistakes. So I wish, you know, if you really watch me close on the field, and sometimes I'll try to talk to players and really just, you know, get a smile on the face while we're playing.
He wants to have some fun. We will be doing Friday's show from the trophy room at the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl people reached out and said, hey, Brad, why don't you come over here and do the show? We know you're coming over here anyways. Sports 360 AZ, we'll have cameras there at the game. We'll shoot the game. We'll social media it out. We'll put up highlights on our website, give you some access that you don't get anywhere else, and have some fun with this. This is what we do. On the other side, Bob Kravitz, longtime Indianapolis Star columnist. His thoughts on the Colts-Cardinals game this Sunday in Glendale. You can't forget about that because both teams in the middle of the race. And Bruce Arians facing Chuck Pagano, that emotional story that overtook the NFL last year, the two meet on the field for the first time. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. On Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Simply Sell It Now sells people's cars, trucks, motorcycles, RVs, and boats. Let them sell your vehicle. No upfront cost, no hassle. Simply Sell It Now. Guys, what do you have for that boat that's sitting out there? All right, Simply Sell It Now handles all the details, advertises, shows your vehicle, negotiates the price, closes the deal, handles all the paperwork. They have a website for you, simplysellitnow.com, simplysellitnow.com. We go to Indianapolis. Bob Kravitz, longtime Indianapolis Star columnist, joins us for a couple of minutes. Not only do we have Arizona State at UCLA with a ton on the line this coming Saturday, but Sunday's game in Glendale is going to be, I think there's going to be some emotion. I think it's going to be very interesting, fascinating. The Cardinals on a roll. The Colts, through their season, they've had a ton of injuries. But Bruce Arians facing Chuck Pagano and his old team. Bob Kravitz from Indianapolis Star, the columnist, joins us for a couple of minutes. Is this a big story back where you are right now, Bob?
Well, yeah. I mean, Chuck Pagano has tried to downplay it a little bit, but you know, clearly Chuck has some very warm memories, and so does the entire team. I mean, what Bruce Arians did here last year was one of the greatest coaching jobs I've ever seen. The way he not only took over the team and kept it moving forward, but the way he kept Chuck Pagano involved and engaged while Chuck was fighting back from cancer. So yeah, it's a big story, you know. I mean, the real story is just how they're going to move on the number nine defense in the league, number two against the rush. But clearly, you know, it's a big deal, and Bruce Arians will always hold a special place in the hearts of the Colts organization and Colts fans.
How about you? A year later, have you had time to reflect on, because in the business, we are in the moment, and then we have some time later to say, man, that was one of the coolest stories, or that story should have been done this way or that way. How about you, the Pagano-Arian story last year to now?
It was, you know, take away the fact that, you know, obviously Chuck was fighting for his life, but from a journalistic perspective and watching the way that Bruce took over that team and watching the way the team played for Chuck was one of the most inspiring things I've ever covered. You know, and after that win against Green Bay when they were down 21-3, it was the first game after Chuck went to the hospital for chemo. And, you know, after the game, Ryan Grigson and Jim Irsay and Arians went over to the hospital and presented Chuck Pagano with the game ball. It was so heartfelt, so heartwarming, and, you know, from a totally selfish standpoint, it made for some really, you know, good writing, too, because, mm-hmm. You know, most games are a dime a dozen, and, you know, but every game that year meant so much. It meant so much to Chuck and the whole Chuck Strong movement, and, you know, I think it was one of the most heartwarming stories I've ever covered, for sure.
Bob Kravitz, Indianapolis Star columnist with Brad Sussmat. How did you see Bruce Arians change into role of assistant into the guy and to where you see him now? I know it's from a distance, but from where he is a year ago to now.
Well, I mean, I think he's always had this in him. You know, I was always shocked that Bruce didn't get more looks after the Pittsburgh Steelers won two Super Bowls while he was there. And I always thought that Bruce, unfortunately, I asked Bruce once why he didn't think that he'd gotten a sniff for a head coaching job. And he said that he thought he was a little bit too gruff and honest with people, and that a lot of times owners and GMs don't particularly like that that approach. And so he thought that that was one of the reasons why he hadn't gotten a sniff. So I'm thrilled for the guy. I mean, and what I love about him is that honesty. And he's honest with the media. He's honest with his players. I saw after the game they did a little thing, you know, in the locker room where he, said good things about the offense and defense and said, special teams, you guys stunk, and you need to take the offensive and defensive guys out for dinner because they saved your bacon. And that's Bruce. You know, he's profane, he's honest, he's funny, and I think that's one of the reasons why it took so long for him to get the head coaching job. And I'm glad he's got one. And I think everybody in Arizona and around the country is finding out what a fine coach he is.
There's no question about it. I mean, I remember last January the Cardinals were dinking around, for lack of a better term, with all sorts of names, and Bruce Arians' name is sitting out there, and I'm pounding my fist saying, at least interview the guy, at least come up with something. And they bring him in, and the football program here has a sense of direction. It's not a rudderless ship. And he, to me, Bob, feels like a guy who's been a head coach for 15 years, the way he's come in year one. He's stuck with Carson Palmer through thin and thin when fans wanted a benching. He's pushed some guys that needed to be pushed. They are still a work in progress offensively, but it seems to me that everything that you saw back there, here he's just thriving.
Oh, absolutely, and I'll be honest with you, it surprises me. Not that Bruce has done a great job, but it surprises me that the Cardinals are sitting here at 6-4 with a chance to make the playoffs. Quite honestly, I thought he took the job because there's only 32 of them,
right?
And he was going to take whatever was offered. You know, he told us in Indianapolis he would only take the right job, and then he took the Arizona job, and we thought, yeah, sure. You know, you got Carson Palmer. You don't have a heck of a lot in the way of offensive weapons outside of Larry Fitzgerald. And we thought he was just taking the job because, you know, you can't blame him. There are only 32 of those suckers out there, and the man is, you know, not a spring chicken. But he has made the best of that situation, and I'm thrilled for him.
A couple other questions we'll let you go. Bob Kravitz, Indianapolis Star columnist with Brad Sussmat. Andrew Luck, tell me about how Arians helped him and without having Arians there and how that's worked out for him moving forward. I mean, on the surface, it looks like obviously he's turned into one of the top quarterbacks in the league, but how did Arians help him there?
Well, you know, Bruce is a tough love kind of guy. Bruce didn't mess around. Andrew's got very strong and warm feelings for B.A., you know, and B.A. was, you know, Peyton Manning's guy when Peyton began his career. So I think it was good for Andrew to have a guy who not only helped Peyton Manning start his career, but helped Ben Roethlisberger early in his career as well. It's a different system now. As you know, B.A. loves, you know, seven-step drops and throwing the ball way downfield, and if there's an interception, there's an interception. It's a little Mike Martian at times. Here, it's more of a West Coast attack, a lot more dinking and dunking, a lot more running the football. They've really made a commitment to a power running game even when it's not there, much to the dismay of Colts fans who wish they would open it up and let Andrew do his thing. But Andrew is just one of the great winners I've ever seen as a young quarterback. When you look at this team statistically, they're very average in virtually every area. The only thing they do well is win. It's just amazing. Their ability in the second half, and more specifically in the fourth quarter, it's astonishing to watch them. They play like garbage for two or three quarters, and they always find it in the fourth quarter. And I think a lot of that goes to Andrew Luck and his force of will.
Bob, I'll let you go off that. Appreciate the time and the insight from Indianapolis on Bruce Arians. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bob Kravitz, Indianapolis Star columnist, one of the very good writers in our country, and very good to join us several times. We reach out to Bob on things on a national perspective. Appreciate his insight. Let me shift over to Todd Graham here for a minute. So Arizona State plays UCLA this coming Saturday. We're taking the show out to the Rose Bowl on Friday. We're doing the show from the Rose Bowl Trophy Room where all the history is. Rose Bowl people said, come on out, put you in the Trophy Room. Very excited for that. Todd Graham, I asked him yesterday, you know how a team, when they're on a run like Arizona State is, you hear the old expression that the team is taking on the personality of the coach. So I asked Todd Graham, has this team that's having great success taken on your identity?
I think they do. Good, the good and the bad. You know, they're pretty passionate. You know, I do. I definitely feel like that that our guys are not. You know, I don't. There's not very many times I'm looking at that film that I feel like we've got a guy out on the field that's trying not to mess up, or a guy that's not confident in what he's doing. You know, that's not competing and playing the game. And so, I like this team because of that. I think that's very important. That's one of the things in hiring a staff. I think this team has. We talk about it every single day. The key to our success is one vision, one identity, one heartbeat, and how we do everything that we do. And it's really not mine; it's ours that we've selected. And I think our guys, and I think our fans, you know, one of the things when I talk to the fans and I really look at it and try to, you know, I think our brand of football is exciting to watch because our guys are very aggressive. They attack on both offense and on defense. And I think they do. I really like this team. I really enjoy coaching this team, and they're a challenge. This is one of the, Tim will tell you that this is one of the most challenging teams that I've ever coached. I think the better your players are, the more challenging they. These guys are, you know, it's a, you know, every day we go, you know, we're going at it, you know, and it's just like I take a little different approach in that most, when I was younger, the best players, you know, I was always yelling at the second team guys. Are the guys that weren't I expect the best players to be better every day. And so we strain them and we push them and we challenge them every day. And so it's the better the players are, the harder it is. And I think too, what the change has been so radical for them that they're, you know, it's like, hey, okay, we changed, now get off our back. But we still got a long way to go to where we want to be. Makes sense? So, but I think these guys know that we love them. And I think our players and our coaches, we have really strong relationships. I think one of the things that's been very positive is all the things that we've done outside to develop those relationships. I know our coaches, you know, really try to segment it up. You know, I have a leadership council of 15 guys that are my focus. I'm you know, I communicate with them. I'm dropping them calls. I'm making sure I'm seeing them every day after practice and going and visiting with them. Just constantly trying to develop. Like, I can't develop a relationship with 110 people. Then each position coach, having those kids to their homes. You know, we do occasional meals. Like on the off week, we did an occasional meal where they come to our house. We have family night on Sunday. And all the things we've done, Camp Tonizona, all the things that we've done, I think in a very short period of time, we've developed and had we've got strong relationship with, I think, a really strong buy-in right now. I think these guys believe in the plan and the formula for what we're doing.
Do you take a breath there, Eric? You know, it was a very simple question. I'm trying to give the fans a little bit more context about Todd Graham and the special season. What was that, 3 minutes and 15 seconds? And he went on for about another 2 minutes or so before he finally finished the answer, and that was one question. There was several interesting moments there, I thought, when he talked about straining his players, and I think it revolved a little bit around the Carl Bradford, Will Sutton blow-up on the sideline the other day where they suspended Carl Bradford, their star linebacker, early, sat him down for the second half of the season. Carl Bradford was back on the practice field today. He'll play against UCLA. Obviously he will. It's for the Pac-12 South Championship. On the other side, Charles Davis, speaking of that, Charles Davis, Fox college football analyst, he will be the color analyst for the game this Saturday. We continue to bring you all sorts of angles around ASU-UCLA, the game of the year for the Sun Devils in the following week. They've got U of A. U of A this week has Oregon, wow, down in Tucson after their disappointing loss to Washington State. Tonight, Suns are in play at Sacramento. Arizona State is in play, too, against UNLV. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. You can always follow me on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Friday, we'll be doing the show from the Rose Bowl. People at the Rose Bowl said, come on out here, Brad, do the show from the trophy room. Excited for that on Friday. Saturday, we will be at the stadium, ASU, UCLA, coverage before and after the game, all sorts of stuff that we'll be doing out there with our crews. Again, that's on Sports360AZ. Charles Davis joins us now, Fox College football analyst. If I remember correctly, Charles, we rode up the elevator together at Stanford about 6 weeks ago. You had the Stanford ASU game.
Yes, pregame.
Yeah, and it was raining like crazy. Then the game started, and it was raining points like crazy for Stanford. At the time when you and Gus Johnson walked out of that stadium, did you think that Arizona State would be playing UCLA for the Pac-12 South?
I didn't think it was out of reach. I know that seems like an easy thing to say now, but we've been around this game a long time. You have too. And what you know is that one night like that, while it may knock you out in college football of people discussing national championship implications, it doesn't necessarily knock you out of your conference title. And when the season began and I looked at it, the question was, can USC can they play to their talent level and not have catastrophic injuries that knock them out of it because their depth wasn't big? Would Arizona State assume the mantle and be able to be consistent throughout the season? And to me, UCLA was the front runner going into the season because of Brett Hundley. I thought at the quarterback position, that was a huge, huge deal. That was kind of like my tiebreaker. He was the guy, the spirit that they were playing with. Plus, I know Jim Moore very well, having worked with him on the TV side. And I just know that a three-game losing streak at the end of that year was all he needed in his arsenal. He doesn't like losing, but I think it was one of those things that, yeah, there's no way this team can get complacent off of one good year last year. And that's what I thought going in. So when they lost to Stanford, you know, the way they played in the second half let you know that that was a team that wasn't going to go away and quit. And it was a conference loss, yes, but of the Northern loss,
right,
not Southern, South Division. So to me, they weren't anywhere close to being out of it. I was just going to kick back and watch how the season was going to go.
Fox College football analyst Charles Davis, he will be in the booth on Saturday, ASU, UCLA. It's a 5 o'clock kick, Arizona time, 4 o'clock at the Rose Bowl. We'll be out there, but you'll be watching the game on Fox. You have so many angles, I think, around this game. A kid like Miles Jack for UCLA, this freshman has been unbelievable, amazing, use any term you'd like. Tell me about your view of him and what he's been able to do for Jim Mora.
Well, it's just been one of those great stories that pops up every year in college football. You knew he was a tremendous player. I had heard about him through Jim after he had signed, and then I said, hold a second, he's from Bellevue? And then I just saw that Jim gave me that grin. I went, you've known this kid for a while, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, he coached him in, like, little league ball on a team that Jim's son was playing. You remember when Jim lost his job with the Seahawks and was out of football for a while and was just doing TV?
Yeah, yeah.
He was helping coach his kids' teams back in near Seattle. So that's where he learned about the kids, saw him, the whole deal, established relationship, and that helped him. The payoff was when he became the head coach of UCLA. He knew he wanted this kid and went and got him. Now, flipping him over to the offensive side of the ball like that, was they really had not many choices. Look at all the injuries they've had, all the number of runners that are down. So some of that was born of necessity, and then it just hit. And now you've got a sledgehammer on your hands, and as Jim Moore keeps saying, and he's right about it, you've got to figure out what the right amount is. You got to figure out how to be judicious about this thing, because the kids, you know, Miles Jack's still playing full time outside linebacker on defense.
Right.
And if you look at UCLA's numbers for the year, offensively they've done pretty well and held their own. Defensively, their numbers are below what you would expect from a Jim Moore defense. So, you know, and Anthony Barr on that defense, they have not put up those kind of numbers that you might quite expect. So I think Jim is a little bit worried about shoring up the defensive side. But he really has no choice offensively. He's got to use this kid. He's given him a spark that they desperately needed.
No, he's been terrific. Charles Davis, Fox College football analyst. I know Brett Hundley well, saw him at Chandler High, heard about him in youth actually worked with him a little bit on media, get the rid of the umzas, you know, as you're going through high school, you're going to go to UCLA.
Right.
Stayed in touch with him. He, great kid. Are you surprised with his success, and what do you think his ceiling is, Charles?
Oh, his ceiling is there is none. You know, one of those things that he doesn't have to break through any barriers. He just has to keep getting better and stay with his craft, and I think he's done that. You know, people look at numbers, and numbers don't tell the whole story about the kid. Just what we talked about. How many different running backs has he had behind him this year?
Right.
No consistency there. Did anyone take a look at the offensive line that now starts three freshmen? And I believe at least two of them are true freshmen, maybe even all three. I mean, that's beyond unusual in football. Usually the true freshmen that have an impact are skill position guys, especially runners and catchers. You know, go out and catch the ball. Here, let me hand it to you. You go run it. But to be a lineman, to have that kind of strength, to have that kind of, you know, that ability to hold up against what you're dealing with these older kids who've been in the weight rooms in the colleges for a while, that's pretty phenomenal that they've gotten to this stage having to play that young of an offensive line and had to move his best player, Sua Filo, the offensive guard, out to tackle to try and help shore up this offensive line. So, you know, when I look at it and see what Brett Hundley's had to deal with, I see a kid who continues to mature, a young man who continues to get better, a flat-out leader, and a guy that, you know, earlier this year, you heard all the same stories we did. Hey, if he decides to come out and go to the NFL, he might be a top 10 pick.
Right.
Well, that talk has cooled some, but that's okay, because I think seasoning is, there's nothing wrong with that. If he decided to stay in school and get more snaps and more starts, I think that's to his advantage, not to his disadvantage. You know, one of the things they talk about, Mark Sanchez coming out with USC, that we overlooked to an extent, was he only had 16 starts in college. Did he have enough experience? Well, he got through the first 2 years. The Jets went to two AFC championship games, which obscured some of the things that were going on. And since then, it's been a real, real rocky ride for him. Maybe he didn't get enough snaps. Who knows? I mean, it could be anything. But I think more snaps rather than less snaps is a very good formula for a quarterback going into the NFL. A
couple other questions. Charles Davis, Fox College football analyst. He'll be doing the broadcast with Gus Johnson this Saturday, ASU-UCLA on Fox for you Sun Devil fans. That's at 5 o'clock. Let's flip it around then over on the ASU side. You talked about the youth on the offensive front. I think over here, when you saw Will Sutton in the game up at Stanford, there were some NFL guys that were wondering about his weight and this and that, and Gannon Conway's emerged over here. Take me into the ASU, Will Sutton, Carl Bradford, Conway against that offensive front for UCLA.
Yeah, you got to like what you're dealing with there. And you're right. There, people were worried about Sutton because we saw him in a different light from the year before. You know, you saw that small, quick, upfield, penetrating, three-technique guy. Kind of like what Warren Sapp played with the Buccaneers. You know, he's kind of the gold standard of what we're talking about, what they call an under-tackle.
Right, right.
And that's what Sutton was able to do. Well, one of the problems that ASU had was what? Run defense, right? And they talked to those guys about that all off season. He put on some weight to try and be a better anchor in the run defense and was doing that. But he wasn't the same upfield penetrator, and you know how we are. If we don't see big numbers for tackles for loss or big sack numbers, we say, well, maybe he's not playing as well. Well, I think it changed his quickness. I think it changed how he played the game, but I think he's adapted to that, as has Arizona State, because in the last few weeks, you haven't heard much complaint about Will Sutton, have you?
No.
See, people in our minds have also made that jump that, okay, he's playing it differently. Now, I think that he's better served closer to 290 than he is to 310, but that's just me. That's not my call, because I like that guy who's the quick one. I like that guy who can get upfield, make the big plays, because I think that's where you get offenses, you know, out of whack. But Bradford, with his passion for the game, his ability to get into the backfield, and again, you know, that's one of the great stories. Again, another one in college where this is a guy, right, who came in, went to the coach and said, look, coach, I can play more, and here's why I think I should, and was fearless about doing that. They gave him the opportunity, and when a coach is on a plane and he looks at the defensive line coach and says, why are we taking this guy off the field?
Yep.
You know you've done a heck of a job. And I like the matchup with the young offensive line of UCLA. I think they have the talent and the moxie to get some things done in that game. I think UCLA is going to be very creative and have to be very, you know, normal zone offensive coordinator is going to be on the lookout for where he might have to plug some holes. Because dealing with Sutton in a game like this with a young offensive line where he's really going to want to play, and it's not that he hasn't before, but let's face it, He came back to school to try and win a championship. This is his validation, because he could have come out last year easily and been a pretty decent draft pick in the NFL. He came back for this moment, for this game. They better be ready for Will Sutton on Saturday.
Before I let you go, Marion Grice, I tell people out here, Charles, we're blessed because I think Kadeem Carey is going to leave U of A, and he's a terrific back. Marion Grice has just gotten better and better and better. When you look at Marion Grice, I've heard some NFL people say or write, actually not them, but draft analysts writing, they've heard from scouts, Marion Grice could be one of the top two or three backs in this upcoming NFL draft. Your view of Grice?
Well, I think he's a terrific player. Wow, I have not seen that one, so I've got to start doing my homework where they're saying one of the top two or three backs in the draft.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Because he's had a heck of a year. The last thing I had on him, so I need to do a little more work and call a couple of contacts, they had a mid-round guy.
But
he has really made a vault in a short amount of time. But here's what I like about him. He's a guy who can do everything you want. He can run the football. He can catch the football. He'll help you a little bit in pass protection. He's a guy well-documented about his nose for the end zone, and that's not to be undervalued. When you have a guy like that who knows how to get to the end zone, whether running it or catching it, he's a guy that's very valuable on your team. Look, Jonathan Franklin came out of UCLA last year, and let me tell you something, I was all in on him. All in, all right? I was like, man, I like him better than I like Eddie Lacy coming out, and they both went to the Packers together. Lacy's become much more of the back. Franklin's had to struggle a little bit and adapt. I see some of Franklin's game in college in Grice, but it's not the exact sense, not an exact replica. But that doesn't mean that Grice moving to the NFL struggles going in like Franklin does. Each guy's an individual and different. It'll just be interesting to see how the ultimate evaluation comes out. But if he's vaulted up to one of the top two or three backs in the draft, my hat's off to him. That's congratulations, because he's had the kind of year that's made people take notice.
Yeah, and those guys might have been working me over for a free steak dinner, too. I mean, let's just throw that in there, too. Hey, well, Brad, he's great. He's this. Well, he's that.
Listen, if you've got it going for free steak dinners, I'm going to tell you the best back in the draft. So how's that working for when I come to Phoenix?
Right. I'll take up on that. You might even be here. Could you imagine this whole Pac-12 title game being in Tempe? I know it's a reach. I know Oregon State needs to beat Oregon, but there's actually a scenario now where ASU could be hosting the Pac-12 title game.
It exists, and if you're the athletic department at Arizona State, they're doing their due diligence now to be prepared in case that scenario happens, because it's a short amount of time. But how much fun would that be for your area to have that game come there? I mean, it'd be phenomenal. It'd be fantastic to have that thing happen. And, if there's a scenario that can happen, I would have more confidence in it happening if I'd seen Oregon State be more competitive against the better teams in their conference.
Agreed.
But Oregon State is beating up on the teams that they could beat up on, and the teams that we kept saying, okay, Oregon State's playing well, hasn't really worked out so well. So I don't have the same confidence in that. I think that Oregon at this point has been given a gift, the gift of Stanford losing, and I don't think they're going to turn that gift down at this point.
Yeah, I'll see you Saturday out there. Appreciate your time, Charles. Thank you.
All right, look forward to it. You take care of yourself. It's going to be a blast, isn't it?
No, it'll be a lot of fun. That's what college football is all about. Charles Davis, Fox College Football Analyst. Always good to have him on the show. He'll be in the booth Saturday showdown in Pasadena between ASU and UCLA. And we'll be out there again on Friday doing the show, thanks to our good friends at Santan Ford. On the other side, so there's a few things in the state of Arizona going on tonight that I want to get into, and more on last night's debacle by the officials. And look, you can't tell me that I can't make a play. How many times do we hear the it's uncatchable, or how did he catch that ball? That happens in sports. We'll hear from some of the participants in that and much, much more as we roll on. Brad Cesmat on Twitter, at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T, our website, sports360az.com, where Arizona sent us on a busy Tuesday. So I'm sensing that Eric's not going to make it in on tomorrow's show. Pearl Jam tonight. First time in what? I think it's 10 years since they played in Phoenix. 10 years. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ. I'll be working tonight. You know, Eric can go to Pearl Jam, and it's, you know, Jared, chairman of the board, Screws, as we call him. Screws with a Z is part of the cast here on the show. Pearl Jam tonight. I was not invited. It's fine. It's fine. I'll be watching DeMarcus Cousins, one of the biggest disappointments in the NBA a couple of years back, now against the Suns. The Suns play tonight in Sacramento. DeMarcus Cousins was everything that was wrong with pro sports. He was one of those guys that ended up doing and saying and acting in a way, and I would see Jerry Colangelo at games, head of USA Basketball, when the Suns would be playing him. Just taking in, he'd show up at a Kings game. Well, why is he at a Kings game? Because he's looking for the next gold medal team for the Olympics. And DeMarcus Cousins, you can't deny his talents. He ended up getting Paul Westphal fired up there. He ended up just acting like a immature little twit, for lack of a better term. He was just a nightmare. And now he's starting to get his head turned around and becoming one of the better players in the league. On the Suns' end of things, you know, they're losing some close games. They're not really playing as well as they did a week or so ago. Again, I think that as the Suns go through this season, that the minutes are going to take their toll on Bledsoe. I do think that's going to be the case. The Lakers, now Kobe Bryant is back practicing with the team. But Kobe Bryant doesn't want to embarrass himself and get back out on the floor. I'm talking with some of the NBA folks. And get back out on the floor and be one of those guys that plays 12 minutes and has 2 points and one assist in a turnover or something along those lines. But you know, at some point, it seems to me the likely scenario for Kobe, given what he's all about, would be Kobe Bryant, Christmas Day, back on the floor. I don't even know if the Lakers are playing Christmas Day this year, but it just seems natural that that would be the case. Then there's this story over on the baseball side. Now, the Diamondbacks are not going to be involved with Robinson Cano. They should be involved with Robinson Cano, in my opinion. The owner of the team, Ken Kendrick, needs to make a splash. Could he tie up 8 years with Robinson Cano? That's what they're asking for. But here's the story around Robinson Cano that I like, even though the Diamondbacks are not going to pursue him. So Robinson Cano's agent is Jay-Z. Of course, it's Jay-Z now that's gone on from the entertainment industry over to representing agents. As I've said on this show through the years, actors want to be athletes, rappers want to be athletes, and athletes want to be rappers and actors. That's just the way it is. But I was envisioning the, well, what if? Let's just say that Ken Kendrick said, you know what, we're going to make a run at Robinson Cano. But first I need to go have dinner with Jay-Z. Ken Kendrick sitting across from Jay-Z. Jay-Z, I've never heard anything that you've done, but if Robinson Cano is your guy, and if I've got to pay $310 million because that is the asking price, and I'm not stumbling over that, that is the actual price tag that's out there right now for Robinson Cano. Now, the Dodgers are going to get involved with Robinson Cano, according to the reports in L.A. They're going to look at shedding some salary. Who's going to want Matt Kemp or Andre Ethier? But Cano wants his $300 million. If the Dodgers get Cano, there's going to be a point here with the Diamondbacks that if you're not going to get involved in the biggest free agent sweepstakes, and I'm not saying you have to do that every year, and this is not going to be back in 1999 where I remember asking Jerry Colangelo after they went out and got Randy Johnson, and I said, are you done? He said, yeah, we're done. And then 2 days later, we're sitting in a press conference and he signed Steve Finley. That's not the way that's going to work here in Arizona. It's unfortunate. Look, I know across the state, you Diamondback fans want to see the team be something beyond a club that has a nice first half of the season like last year. It's just not in the financial cards. So that's on my mind too. Santa. Tonight, ASU plays UNLV in basketball tonight. Why do I bring up a game like this? For a couple reasons. I would like to see Arizona State on the national stage. They're playing a really good team. The game is on a network that nobody's going to watch. It's on the CBS Sports Network. Look high and far for it. You can't even find the Pac-12 Network. You're certainly not going to find the CBS Sports Network. I, of course, because I have a job to do every day, unlike Eric, who's going to Pearl Jam tonight, I have CBS Sports Network. I'm probably one of the two in the entire state that knows the channel number for it. And tonight at 8 o'clock, I'm not going to be watching CSI. No. No, I'll be working. I'll watch a bunch of no-names for UNLV against ASU. But Jahi Carson, this is a big game for Jahi Carson, all seriousness. Jahi Carson's a top 15 pick in the NBA draft, you would think. There's Marcus Smart, point guard, Oklahoma State. Then there's Arizona State's Jahi Carson. Are they going to have a game where Jahi is able to showcase his skills? I think a big reason why he came back this season was to have some games where he could showcase what he's all about. Last night, Sean Miller won his 100th game against Fairleigh Dickinson. I'd make fun of this win, other than U of A has been playing lots and lots of teams. For Sean Miller, it was his 100th win. Here is Sean Miller last night after the game on winning his 100th game.
That did not be at that number. I'll say that. But hopefully there's many more to come this year and beyond.
That's Sean Miller. Have you gotten the program to where it needs to be right now? It's early on in the season. Here's Sean Miller.
Well, by the standards that we have here, I think we have both feet on the ground and we're solid. And it's about us being consistent from this point on, where you know what to expect, and that we're about winning, we're about excellence, you know, we're about winning championships. That's the standard here.
And they play a very difficult schedule, and I'm not where they are at this point of the season. They're fine. They're going to be a team that plays into the late part of March. They're going to be a team that is there when we get into Final Four time. That's just the way it is with the U of A. I think for Arizona State, and U of A plays tonight as well. 7:30. They play another one of these Who Cares teams tonight. So those two are on the docket tonight to check out. I think as I look ahead to this weekend, that more and more of the buzz, and tomorrow on the show, we'll have Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network on the fantasy football front. Michael Fabiano joins us every week on the show. Michael Fabiano, the NFL Network on Wednesdays. Thursdays, Jake Plummer, and on the Pac-12 Network, and what's going on around the Pac-12. Jake Plummer will be with us. Also on Thursday, Clark Judge, all things NFL. Friday, we go to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro, the wisest of the wise guys. Jimmy will be with us from Vegas. And then Goody at the Movies, all part of what we do here. If you're just finding us every week here on Sports 360 AZ with Brad, Seth, Matt, things that are Arizona-centric. Speaking of Arizona-centric, Santan Ford, where it is all about you, the segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. It's just off the 202 and Val Vista, the Santan Ford experience. I was out there yesterday, stopped in to visit with General Manager Tim Hovick. Bob Johnston, one of the very good guys, part of the front office of Santan Ford. We sat and talked about what's going on in the world of sports, how they're moving cars. There's a couple of deals that closed right in front of me while I was sitting there. People coming in, getting that car, getting that truck that they like. That's at Santan Ford. How about you next week, Thanksgiving? Are you driving the car? Are you driving the truck that you like? That makes the most sense for you. Stop on in, Santan Ford, just off the 202, or go to them on the web at santanford.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. You can find us on our website, sports360az.com. At sports360az.com and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, CESMAT. Later in the week, Friday, we'll be in Pasadena doing the show from the Rose Bowl, all around Arizona State and UCLA. If the Sun Devils win the game, they go to the Pac-12 title game. They would win the Pac-12 South. We'll have plenty of content throughout the week. And then on our website, sports360az.com, we're a working sports website. Stories on the high school, college pros around the state of Arizona. You may not get anywhere else, and we're not going to charge you $12.95 for it either. Stay with us.